Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Welcome back to
I'm sorry, folks, but for those of you who don't know, poor Shane is absolutely fucking dying.
Yeah. It's not any better than last week.
Again.
You know, if you heard me on Jack's show there, yeah. I did Wrong Turn Memory on Thursday, and that was, thank God he only does an hour. Welcome back to the Cropod, though. Hi, David. Hi, Todd.
Hi, hey. Guys. Right.
Hello.
So, you'll cut this if we're not allowed to talk about it. So, imagine my shock the other day. I come in from the football, right? And Sally goes, there was a wedding invitation arrived today. And I said, oh, right, okay. She went, do you know anybody in Chicago? And I was like, no. And I said, I don't know anybody in Chicago. I know somebody nearby. And she went, all right, well, I've left it in the car. I said, well, who was it to? Was it to Sally and David? In which case, it's probably someone you know. Or was it to David and Sally? And she said, David and Sally. I said, right. Because the only person I know that's quite close to there is Shane. She went, that's who's one of the names. I was like, so I immediately go to the car, get the invite, and I send a message to Shane going, are you getting married? Because he hadn't fucking told us.
No,
that he was getting married.
I think I actually did this in the chat at one point. But
you
yeah, right. You know.
No. So then, wait. So David does this, and I go, like, is this happening now? So I then scour all of Shane's social medias. There is absolutely nothing on it other than viral infection. I'm dying. You know, whatever. Yeah. I'm trapped under a bus. You know, and so there's nothing there. And so that's when David like screenshots the card and goes, and then that's when Shane goes, well, I have no faith in Canada Post now. First of all, you should never. And second, two things about that. I still haven't got it. And David, I love that you get mail on a fucking Sunday.
I know it was a Saturday, but she'd left it in the car.
Okay.
The dizzy person, because I'd been at the football and she'd lifted it as she was going out and put it in the car.
Got it.
And of course, I'll bring that back in because it's a wedding invitation, which might actually be something we need to respond to. So, yeah, and this will make you laugh, Shane. So the boys went, oh, God, you know, you won't even go to a wedding over here. And I surprised, I was like, actually, I think I'm going to go. So, anyway, if you invited me, on the grounds that I'll invite David to be polite, but he probably won't come. That's backfired. Arsehole.
Live show coming this.
Well, if we do a live show while I'm there, I can write it off as a tax expense.
So exactly. Yes.
We will be watching.
Todd, I'll get you booked in on Friday night.
Yeah.
And
then,
if you want me to do like a type five at the top of the reception, I'll gladly do it.
Yeah.
And then, tax dodge.
But so I said, no, I'm genuinely, I said, I'm thinking of going. And young Stuart said, you moaned about coming to come to my wedding. And I said, well, don't take this the wrong way. I said, but the opportunity to fly into Chicago or to drive into Cumbernauld. One is a bit more appealing than the other, I have to say. So congratulations.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you. Yep. You know, around, well, you know, dying, as
yeah,
I've
yeah.
been doing for the past
sure. yeah.
2 or 3 months now. It's, that's a good thing. I'll tell you, well, today it's going to be, look, beautiful thing. Nice sunny day. Looks, it's going to be a high temperature today, February, mind, mm-hmm. right? Of right around 25 degrees.
Wow.
Right?
So just shy of 80 degrees in our, you know, weird temperature thing.
Right.
The low temperature tonight, right? Just right around 80. The low temperature tonight will be minus 10 Celsius with wind chills of around minus 20.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, again, you know, on the Fahrenheit scale, around a 65 degree temperature swing in 12 hours.
We have it tomorrow. Yeah. That's our tomorrow. Yeah. Yep. Plus 12, minus 14.
That is
the old Midwest. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. So
that is actually bigger than we will get in Scotland this calendar year.
Right.
Yep.
Right. We will go from about minus 5 at worst to probably about 20. It does get hotter now over here, so probably about 30, 32. But that will be it. You know, that's the entire year's swing, not one day's.
Thankfully, they got rid of, you know, there was a lot of concerns around my old friend, the good old tornado.
Yeah,
right.
Up here. But thankfully, that concern has mostly gone away for at least my part of the country. Down south, big issue. It's going to be a problem.
Right.
Yeah. Well, all I can say to your future wife, to your fiance, is good girl.
Yes.
Oh, no, wait. I wouldn't say that because she's an adult. Yeah. And it would be patronizing as all shit.
It's okay. Jane Lewis says it's fine when Brendan does it.
Well, so I have absolutely loved the defense, but the best one, and by the way, this is not just down to one club. I've heard this from both sides and fans of other clubs do it. It's just the same as saying good man to somebody. And I was like, no, it isn't. It's the equivalent of saying good boy to somebody.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only time I use the phrases good boy and good girl are with my dogs.
Yep.
And that's who it should be reserved for. Yeah.
Yep.
But he's done a press conference as well where he's gone full Brent. He actually, let me read this to you in case I...
Please do. Yes.
Because I'm not sure I would get this correct otherwise, and I don't want to misquote him. And the irony of it is, I shared with players not so long ago the story of Jessica Watson, the young woman of 16 years of age who travelled around the world solo on a boat. The documentary I watched was really inspiring. True Spirit, it was called. I actually shared it with the players in terms of the inspiration they can take of a woman that age, what she's been through and everything else. So I find it saddening as much as anything because I'm not that type of person. I could never be that. It's not how I'm built. And he was just missing the absolute pièce de résistance, which would have been, how can I hate women? My mum is one.
Beautiful.
I don't... Why do they lie like this about... Wasn't it Simon... What's his name? That Danish center half they had a while ago? He came out last week, something about how like he had to get a different taxi because the guy found out he played for them. It was like... It's the same with the Clyde Tunnel bullshit. You know, like when Brendan was trying to leave town, got caught in the Clyde Tunnel and fearful. But thank God, you know, somebody was, why do you, there's no point in lying like this. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
I'm going to be really fair here. I genuinely am. For once in my miserable compacting life, I'm going to be damned fair and say, I think it's less about a club thing. Although obviously it isn't, it's them. But it's less about... Michael Beale was the same. Just bullshitters.
I think
would pass lie detector tests at the time they're saying it. Because I think if a thought enters their head, they believe it. And maybe it's the cosseted world of football, you know, where you never have to really account for anything except maybe getting the sack. Players and managers are used to being treated in a certain way. And clearly, if you've been there for a long time and you think you're very important, and Brendan Rodgers obviously thinks he's incredibly important.
Well, they've told him he's very important. They treat him like a good little boy. I mean, that's,
And it is, you know, it must be kind of the equivalent of, you know, Empire of the Sun and these child kings and that sort of thing, where, you know, nobody ever says no. Basically, and therefore you can't have it. He was trying to be patronizing. I've done it, right? I've done it. I'll admit to it. I have tried to condescend and be patronizing and annoy people, right? The only plus point is I tend not to do it when it's been recorded for national audiences.
Yes.
But, you know, we've all done it. I remember one time a woman said to me, you know, I was drunk, so this is my defense. She said, "You're very patronizing." And I said, "No, I'm not, love." Now, that was
That is a perfect joke.
I was trying to be, I was trying to be antagonistic. I admit this, right? It was wrong of me. I was drunk, and that's no excuse, but that I wouldn't have done it sober. But yeah, but of course, football people these days, what do they not do? They do not back Doon. They double Doon.
No. Well, and again, just because of who it is, like, had this been a Rangers manager, had this been Michael Beale, and in spite of all of his other misgivings and failures and just general being a
this gets cunt, into the long queue of things in advance of that, but yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but had this been a Rangers manager, this wouldn't be, it wouldn't be being handled like this, but because it's fucking Brendan. He didn't mean it. It's fine. How could he possibly mean anything like that? That would just be well below board. Look at this ridiculous story he has about the documentary that he's definitely never fucking seen and just looked up on Wikipedia before he got up here in the microphone. It's just nonsense. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things that is fairly obvious. If you take a wee step back from the tribalism and Scottish football, and of course the raging culture war on Twitter, then it's quite obvious. You know, you don't to an adult person say good boy or good or good girl, right? You might say good man. But then if you're going to do that, the equivalent phrase quite obviously is good woman, right?
Yes.
Which is. Although these days you're probably getting into bother with that, aren't you? How dare you say that? How dare you judge me on my
not my... every phrase needs to be converted. You know, there's some gaps that just won't be filled, and that's fine.
I've decided the safest thing to do is I'm just not speaking to anybody anymore.
Attaboy.
That's yeah.
I've decided to communicate through
the very proactive stance.
Yeah, I won't offend anybody by communicating only through the art of semaphore.
I will talk to you two and my better half, and that is it. No longer communicating with anybody on any medium.
It's just too big a risk. But like I say, there is a risk of accidental offense, and then there is I'm trying to offend you. And I have succeeded, and then claiming, no, I wasn't trying to offend you. Right. And sometimes, be honest, just say, "Hey, yeah, I was trying to annoy you." You know,
next Old Firm game, I would love it if when the players are coming out of the tunnel, and you know they're getting ready for the match, and then the managers come out, and as soon as Brendan Rodgers' face is seen, I would just love every Rangers fan just to start yelling, "Finchy!"
he is just so Brent, and like I say, he's the type of guy that I used to think hadn't watched The Office, and then I realized he's the type of guy who'd watched The Office but just didn't get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
he did see it, but he thought it was.
I really like this guy.
Yeah, he thought it was a documentary.
That's
the difference. And I think we all know someone who's a wee bit like that, but oh my goodness. What you need, incidentally, and this is why I'm glad I've got the friends I've got, that I would not be able to get to that sort of state simply because the second I did something, the piss would be mercilessly. Ripped right at me by my, you know, you would be fucking told in seconds about that. So maybe that's what we should take from. Maybe it's quite sad that he doesn't have that friend in his life who can say, "Hey, by the way, you're making a right arse of yourself here, mate."
I don't picture him having friends.
No.
He's got, how can he not have friends? His dog is one.
That guy in the Clyde Tunnel. I mean, that's his best fucking,
How can I be anti-Semitic? Can I introduce you to my accountant?
Yeah, it's exactly that sort of thing. Or the Richard Nixon line, remember? When he was asked about being anti-Semitic, he said, "I'm not anti-Semitic, and if anyone had a reason to be, trust me, it's me." Which is the most unconscious cell phone you will ever hear.
Oh boy.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
All this makes me feel so much. Look, we've had another press conference today where Phil's just gotten up there and said the 10 things that you want your fucking football manager to say, and then get the fuck off the microphone, and that's it.
He treats it like a BuzzFeed list, and we're done.
Yes, that's what you're supposed to do. Not patronize, I mean, mediocre journalists, let's be honest, but still, you don't want to do that. And, you know, you won 5-0. Again, you know, this is a symptom of the wheels coming off over there. We've seen it with them before. But we won 5-0. Phil got up there, said the things that he's supposed to say. Is Kmart Roof alive? We don't really know, but we'll find out in 2 to 3 weeks. And, you know, you just keep going. That's it. Good job.
A press conference, exactly, shouldn't be, you're not supposed to give headlines and make 4 or 5 days of discussion about you. That's not, and as I said, no matter what anyone says, it is a sign of a manager under pressure. Beale did it a lot because he was under pressure. So people under pressure do strange things. They say things, they make bad choices, they make bad decisions. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you too. And I'm sure it's happened to all our listeners. When you're stressed, you do things that you don't really mean, that had you taken a second, you would take a step back. Whereas you simply, as you say, here's what a manager should do at a press conference. Get up, tell people who's available, who isn't. Say it's going to be a tough game, but we're really confident about it. And then get the fuck back out.
It's Bull Durham 101. That's what you do. You get the notepad, you sit down with Kevin Costner, and you write down, and the good Lord willing, things will work out. That's all you need to do.
This is press conferences in any field. Look, any mayor, any politician, any police chief or something like that. You know how many stories I ever got out of press conferences that were anything more than just, here's, you know, fucking 5 quotes and 200 words. Like, you just knock it out. You don't get that kind of stuff. You shouldn't get that kind of stuff out of press conferences.
You shouldn't. Yeah, that's
it. Right. And again, I mean, it's kind of a, it's a sad measure for us that, like, we're sitting here mildly celebrating the fact that we have a competent person that can just sit there and do the fucking job, which is, it's nice to have again after, you know, a couple of years of struggling through this. So.
It's fantastic because, as you say, we have had our fuck, what's he going to say today? You know, and we haven't.
Yes.
And it became, you know, I know that between us, it became a running joke that we would sit and after a press conference go, here's what he said at 2:07 and here's what he said at 2:16 that directly contradicts what he said at 2:07. Right. And there's no need to get yourself in that situation but you do it because you're not in control.
I think it was our buddy Ross Hendry. I saw you guys talking on Twitter there at one point, but I mean, the two biggest things that he's instilled are respect and accountability.
Yes.
You know, and those, that's it. Organizationally, that was it because we'd lost that, right? I mean, you know, I'm not here to sit and wax on about the fucking board because I don't really, whatever, we're winning. That's what matters, right?
Oh, but don't double down. Yeah, no, because I can't give them any praise for it, even when they get things totally right. No.
Go say it right here, though. Oh, God damn it, I'm going to die. No, but that is critical. Again, it's weird in football because the most forward facing, you know, the person that represents your club the most isn't the person really at the top of the pyramid, right? In terms of the corporate setup. But you have to, this is what Gerard did extremely well, right?
Yeah.
We are going to do shit this way. And if you do not fucking do it, you will not be here. That's it.
Yeah.
So,
guys, I'm sorry to interrupt, but something has just popped up here on my email.
Do we have breaking news?
We do. Ticket Scotland are offering me pre-sale access to Journey, the Freedom Tour.
Ooh.
But it's Journey, the Freedom Tour 2023.
Right.
Oh.
Okay.
Damn.
Now, do you want to hear the little blurb? Journey is one of the most popular American rock bands of all time, creating some of the best-known songs in modern music. And if they were being honest, they would say, Don't Stop Believing and possibly some others you might have heard of. They have continued to tour and record into the 21st century, firing on all cylinders and making sure their fans will never stop believing. Since the group's formation in 1973, the band has earned 19 top 40 singles and 25 gold and platinum albums. The greatest hits album is certified 15 times platinum, bringing Journey into the elite club of diamond centrified holders. And do you know who they're supported by, Shane?
Oh, can I guess?
Go on.
No. I saw it. Shane, you go.
No. That's fine.
Well, over here it was Toto.
Close, but think even closer to this show.
Oh, it's got to be Cheap Trick then.
It's Cheap Trick!
Yeah. Yes!
And after sitting there and slagging them off and slagging off the way they dressed, nah, I would fucking go to that.
Yeah. I took my wife there. It was her her birthday slash Christmas present, I think, or something like that. It was Journey and Toto opening. And Toto, for the three songs that you go there for,
yeah,
were great. Even better was the stage patter that the lead singer of Toto did, where he basically outlined between every song, reminded everyone that he's in recovery and he doesn't remember a lot of the shit that they got up to, but it must have been pretty fun.
Yeah, that's always the best patter, yeah, right there. Yeah. Yeah, see, well, it actually, because last night was Bunny Carlos of Cheap Trick was supposed to be playing at Mary's, and that got, well, Bunny's ill, so that guy, but thankfully he got me off the hook because, you know, a whole group of us were going to go, and I'm obviously in it. Like, I went out Sunday night briefly because, you know, one of the guys at my wedding party wanted to take me out for a beer to celebrate and blah, blah, blah. And
now he can't shut the fuck up about this way.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, kiss my ass.
Is that part of the ceremony?
Yeah. No one.
You know, you know what? I did a nice thing before this, though, because friends of mine had they had their first kid. And obviously, you know, they're going through all that, the after effects nonsense of, you know, learning that sleep is now something that you're just never going to get and whatnot. Yeah. So I was going to make lasagna anyway. And you can't just make what, Todd, you know this. You got Italians there. You don't just make one lasagna. There's never one lasagna.
No.
So,
no. They come in colonies of three.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So I took them a lovely lasagna and I tried going out of the house for like 2 hours, and that just, none of it worked out. I paid for it immediately, and it's still, yeah. Anyway,
people should be you're ill. People should be bringing you lasagna.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, none of them.
Chicken soup, matzo balls, the whole bit.
The whole thing. People should be turning up and saying, "I know you feel it." Yeah. I've, you know, my friend Martin has recently had a baby, he just, I said, "How are you feeling?" And just looked at me with this death stare and went, "Tired." just so tired. So, well, I think this is sort of it for a while. He's like, "I know, yeah. I know. I'm trying to adapt, but it's not easy." I just couldn't be fucked with that, to be honest.
I mean, at least Rangers aren't shit, or else Martin's life would just be fucking unbearable.
Exactly.
Definitely. I mean, it's a big help. I remember actually, when I was, I reckon that my first marriage survived an extra 2 years because Rangers were quite good at the time. I think had we been shit at that point, I mean, I can't fucking deal with any of this. So, right. You know, it can make such a big difference. But, I think that we all joke about that type of music, right? And understandably so, because there's a lot of, you know, amusing things to do with it. But in our heart of hearts, anybody who, when they're in a club or a bar and Don't Stop Believing comes on, doesn't get a massive thrill as soon as it gets to the first chorus is a fibber.
I mean, if you know, whenever Any Way You Want It comes on, if you'll go, "Hey, everybody's going to get laid." Like, if you're not that person, you shouldn't be listening to this show.
Yeah, it's a party. I mean, and you know, we like that bit in The Simpsons. Where did the music come from? It doesn't have to make sense, Mom. It's a party. No.
Exactly. Right. My when that song comes on, my wife has the same reaction as when I say to the dog, "Do you want a treat?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there are other ones as well. Like, if you've ever been in, as I say, your bar or a club or whatever, and Mr. Brightside comes on, no matter what you think about Mr. Brightside, the song, or The Killers in general, people go fucking mental. And it's just, there are certain songs that, as Old Steady put it, certain songs get scratched into our hearts, and that is exactly what happened here. But I do think that I would like to see them, if I'm going to this concert in 2024, so if they could perhaps figure out a way to bring the tour forward from
No. What they do is they get Huey Lewis to open before these guys, and then you can go back in time, and then that's it.
Well, he can't sing anymore, though. It's sad.
That's true. Just press play.
That was a really sad story to read about him losing that.
Yeah, but there are plenty of plenty of older acts these days who...
Well, Steve Perry conveniently announced his tour on the exact same day that Journey announced their tour. It must be a
strange coincidence. He's back at it? I thought his big thing... Because he
released a new album. What was that, last year?
Well, the new lead singer said he would step aside at any moment if Perry wanted to come back and
Perry's never Journey. Come. What was he said? That, I mean, you know, everybody brings this up every time they talk to him, because what the fuck else are you going to talk to Steve Perry about? But he said, well, he was like, I left the band 35 fucking years ago. Like, I'm not coming back. This isn't ever going to work. So,
right.
Not with that attitude.
No, exactly. That's,
well, and
that's
also the fact that, you know, like Huey Lewis, he can't really sing anymore. He's got a bit of the Phil.
Yeah, that was the other thing too. Like he was saying that he could, because he couldn't hit the notes that he needed to hit and wanted to hit. He didn't want it. So I can only assume, like, so now he's done a Leonard Cohen register album now. So who knows what this is. It's gonna be like, wow, Steve Perry's album sounds an awful lot like Tom Waits.
Yeah. Look, this is why you hire Korean pop singers, right? We know this as a football club. You know, it works out for bands too.
We were talking about this the other day. I think there was a thread on Follow, but it's about songs that people misunderstand the meanings. And you know, we've talked about it before. You're born in the USA, that kind of thing. But the biggest
one's Hallelujah. I mean, by far.
That's exactly what I put up. The Hallelujah. Biggest one.
Worth You Take being played as the first song at weddings
and funerals. Yeah. It's the most popular because the Jeff Buckley version does raise it to almost being this quasi-religious, spiritual, almost a hymn. You know, it is beautiful, but it's a Leonard Cohen song, and like all Leonard Cohen songs, it's about shagging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just it's about fucking someone and then leaving them. That's it.
Yeah, yes.
Don't ever be fooled by the tempo of a Leonard Cohen record. It's about shagging, right? That is always what it's about. And I love the fact that people think, and they, as I say, and no disrespect if you've done it, people play it at funerals, and I was like, I'd quite like that played at my funeral because it's about shagging.
Right. Get in the box.
Yeah. Although, as I mentioned last week, I'm going to use the jingle for David 90s Films Review as at my funeral. That'll be the
beautiful
the track. My friend who passed away was a big Rush fan, and for his revenge on us all at his funeral, they played a 13-minute Rush song.
Of course they did,
and of course all of us were just pissing ourselves laughing because we were like, "That is this is him having a this is him getting us back for all the times we went fucking Rush."
Yeah,
right. So
YYZ is your wedding march,
right?
So,
yeah.
It's a wee bit like, have you ever been? Have you ever done? Jukebox grabbing, I think it's called.
Where
you go into a bar.
Oh God, yes.
And my friend once got kicked out of a bar for putting Riders on the Storm on six times in a row.
I used to play Mountain Jam because you could always find at least two versions of it, and combined, you know, they're about 75-80 minutes.
Yeah.
So, and look, I always validated this by saying I put the same $1 in the jukebox as you. I just want to get the most value out of my fucking money.
Exactly.
And that involves me listening to the Allman Brothers for the next hour and a half.
Yeah.
The John Mulaney, what's new pussycat joke is bound to my heart in Hoops of Steel. I just absolutely fucking adore it.
Yeah. Go on then.
Well, there was a pub in my hometown I went back to, and they sell, you know, because now everybody has these digital jukeboxes, and like the bar can skip or add credit or do, you know, like all this shit. But
yeah, the bar have got a button. I think this is cheating. The bar have got a button that they can.
Oh yeah, so I'll turn this shit off. Yeah, I don't care.
Those assholes. So now they take it. So the John Mulaney joke is that he and his friend were at this diner for like lunch with their parents, and they were bored, so they asked for some money, and they went and started feeding the jukebox, and they started playing What's New Pussycat in a row like 14 times. And then as they were about to do like the seventh one, his friend was like, no, we gotta put in It's Not Unusual. He goes, because that is the key. Because when you're listening to West New Pussycat 2-3 times in a row, it you kind of lose sense of like where it begins and ends. So it just kind of feels like one thing. So then eventually people are starting to cotton on to this. And then it's like, you know, by the fifth time, they're like, oh, come on. Oh, come on. And then there's when the dun 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 dun, dun the it's not unusual kicks in, you can, everyone just in the restaurant goes, oh thank God. Yes. Oh God. And then that finishes and then it's going, what's new, pussycat? No.
So, I mean that's just the amount of the machine. Mountain Jam, you have no idea when it starts or ends or what part of it, right. You know, doesn't fuck me. But I know this pub one time, because it still had the old style, you know, you put your money in and you push the actual buttons and, you know, the discs change, like it's got the pages in there. So I threw good evil laugh. Mm-hmm. I was home over the holidays at one point. This is years ago, like probably 20 years ago now. And I just went through a tenner in and I bought Sioux Studio once. And then I bought Sioux Studio twice. And I bought Sioux Studio 20 times because you got to play for 50 cents. And the thing of it is, those old ones, unlike the, you can't skip songs. And if you unplug it, it just goes back to where it was. Exactly. At one point, they had to go, because there's like, it's plugged in a narrow gap between two walls and two different rooms of the bar. So there's a guy crawling around inside the walls of the pub trying to unplug this thing in the hopes that Sioux Studio will not play when he plugs it back in. That did not happen.
Right.
I hope he went and just wearing a t-shirt, because when you're in there, there's no jacket required.
Beautiful.
Hey. See what I did there? Right. This is what fucking elevates this podcast, right? So, from your normal shit to stuff like that, right? Because I don't even like Phil Collins. I'm human and I have ears that work.
I fucking do.
Right, everybody does.
There's two good Phil Collins.
When I try pulling that shit with my dad, he just looks at me and goes, "You're no son of mine."
My dad loves Phil Collins, yeah. And he loves Eric Clapton. And yeah, you're not allowed.
I've gotten off the Clapton thing. Yeah. Hey, you know what? If no jacket's required, that means that you could order stuff from our friends at Fanatics. You can find those links in the show notes of this episode. You get great discounts from them or Kit Bag if you're looking to order some team merchandise there. So go check that out. So.
Well, you know how
that's a hell of a seg.
It really was. Well, speaking of buying stuff, right? You know how I occasionally buy things that might be considered a bit useless.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
everything in your house aside from your wife and dogs, I think. So
yeah.
Right. So I get home from football on Saturday and I was in a very good mood, right? I actually messaged Sally and I said, "Look, we're getting a Chinese and you're getting rattled when I come in." to which she said, "Well, you're half right." Right. And I have to say, I really did enjoy my my Kung Pao chicken. But I got home.
You know, I was going to say, how was the Lebanese food that night?
Chinese food was great. Really enjoyed it. So, I mean, she was spot on. I was indeed half right in my assumption. But I got home and there's a box there. And she said, "Oh, this got delivered today." And it was
there's a box there?
Yeah. Hey. Shane, could you get
your... Sorry, Sally. Shane, I'm so sorry.
Shane.
Oh, Jesus. Brendan Rodgers, too.
Could you get your mind out of that? We are Presbyterian, okay? Right. Good God.
Been watching too many press conferences, Dave.
Definitely.
Yes, exactly.
Watching too much, Brendan. So there was a button, and it was all covered in, you know, like airmail and international shipment. And she's looking at me and she's like, "Half, is this something useful he's bought for the house? And half, is this something, a complete and utter waste of fucking money?" Okay.
Right.
And I said to her, "What are you looking at me like?"
I know where my money's on, but go ahead.
I said, "What are you looking at me like for?" She said, what's in that?" She goes, "Because it looks expensive." And I was like, "Well, you know, expensive is kind of like art, isn't
coming
it?"
In a Swarovski box?
It's all subjective.
Banging Olufsen over here.
it's
the only response to Banging Olufsen is,
it's all subjective. So I opened it up, and what it is an original, right, from the 80s, mint in box Johnny Ramone action figure.
Oh my God.
And I'll give her this. She went, that is pretty cool. How much was it?" And I said, boy, I just don't think that, you know, in time, you forget about the money and you'll remember the memories. And I think that's what's important here.
I'm starting to see why maybe you don't have as much sex as you would like.
To be honest, though, you know, I've kind of hit that age, and we as men don't really talk about this a lot, but it does seem a lot of hassle, doesn't it? You know, and you've got to, you've had your shower, and then, mm-hmm. you know, they come over to you, and you know that there's going to be some stickiness involved, and
yeah.
and it's just mm-hmm. like, and then I'd need to go for another shower, and I'll need to move about a bit.
Clean up. I'm probably going to be hungry again after.
Yeah, and just, you know, I don't know. I just think deep down, no matter what you try to claim as you get modern and you get older and you get, you know, more. Do you know how fucking cosmopolitan I am? Right? Really? Do you want to know how cultured I've become? Now, remember that I grew up in a council flat, right, in a mm-hmm. very rough part of Scotland. I now get out the bath to take a piss.
Look at you. That, look at you.
That, I think.
Medieval days are over now. We actually don't sit in our own piss anymore when we're cleaning ourselves. Good job, man.
To take a piss, right? That is how cultured I have become, okay? Mm-hmm. And like today, I had a coffee before we started, and it was a latte, right? That,
my
you know,
God, that's nice.
Proper one, not mm-hmm. one out of sachet, a proper milk, right? Yeah. That's how cultured I have become.
Attaboy.
But attaboy. Deep down, I still think I'm the wee boy that was raised mm-hmm. in a Sunday school where we used to get the local minister would come and deliver sermons that were basically, you're a sinner and you're a disappointment to God and he's right. watching you, all of you, and you will die if you commit sins. And I think that has still stuck right. in my mind for the whole Jesus. Of my life. Oh, that was, you know, we came from a very, very Calvinist sect, mm-hmm. it's fair to say. And the ministers weren't interested in any of that Jesus shite, you know, all that yeah. tolerance and love. No, they believed in an interventionist God, a smiter.
Yeah, very, very First Testament.
Yes.
You know, strike them and slap them. That's it. You know, my buddy, John Wing, speaking of Calvinistic attitudes as you get older towards
everything,
the intercourse. It reminds me of John Wing, one of my friends. He has this great line.
He did it on Carson.
Yeah.
What's his name?
He goes, he's talking with his wife and he goes,
Hold on. Before you get to that, is his name Johnny Wang?
John Wing.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
Not Wang. No. Not named after the computer company that shows itself on t-shirts and buses. So John Wing, he's done Carson like six times, like the Johnny Carson Jesus. Show like six oh, times
yeah.
and one of his jokes that he does there, and I just fucking remember it all the time, he's like turns to his wife and goes, do you want to have sex tonight? And she goes, well, Law and Order's on. And he goes, yeah, but we can still have sex. And she goes, but it's a new one.
Oh, like Todd, aren't you guys getting? You guys are getting your own version of Law and Order now, aren't
we
you?
We have it. We have it. I'm saving it up for the missus. She's away, but like, yeah, we got Law and Order.
Law and Order, CSI, Toronto.
Toronto. That's, and you can tell that they're not from Toronto because they pronounce Toronto.
I was gonna say, is it just people like, sorry that my bin lid blew under your driveway?
Exactly. And that's
like,
No, what it is like, you know, they're keeping kids from tobogganing down hills. You know, so.
If you shout at someone a little too loud, your council tax goes up 8%.
Exactly. Like that's... Yep.
Are you two boys aware of the Twitter account Fesshole?
Yes.
At
Fesshole.
Love Fesshole.
Well, Fesshole has just posted, as we've been recording, personal loan assessor here would never turn someone down if they meet the criteria. That would be unprofessional. You'd better believe I check social media to see what football team you support, though. The interest rate offered is dependent on this. Nay luck, Celtic fans.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's that reminds me of when we used to work in recruitment. And obviously, I didn't let any football thing get in the way of it before anyone tries to sue me. Obviously, I'm sure you guys would totally believe me when I said that. But yeah. What we used to do is, say you got 100 applications, right? And it was for a fairly basic job that the 100 of them could do, right? The first thing you would do, genuinely, and I was taught this on day one, is throw 50 of the CVs in the bin, and that way you get rid of the unlucky people. And it's such a beautifully circular piece of logic, isn't it? It
just is just fucking brilliant. There is so much zen about that.
They're all unlucky, clearly, because they've just had their CV chucked into the bin. So you can't really argue with that for a piece of logic, can you?
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
But you need to do these little things to get enjoyment in your day when you're working at a job like that. But I love the fact that he has confessed this to the world on a very popular... Are we calling it X yet, or is it still Twitter?
Oh, no, I still call it Twitter.
I just call it Twitter. I don't know.
Yeah.
I call it Twitter. I think until they come up with a term for what a tweet is.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, what is it now? I don't know.
It's still a tweet.
It's a post.
No, is it a post, is it?
I think, because I think you repost now. Yes, you repost.
Well, whatever happened to that Threads thing? Is it still going?
It's a thing.
Is it?
I mean, you can hop on it, and it's basically just it's Instagram without words.
Well, I went
or
on
without
it.
Pictures, I should say. Pictures. Yeah.
Well, I went on it, and Rangers were getting like 7 likes on their stuff, and I thought, well, if they're getting 7, I'm not fucking bothering, What the fuck is the point of that?
Right.
This is a day of live things happening. My phone just beeped, right? Mm-hmm. And well, it did beep because I'm not a psychopath. My phone's on silent. Incidentally, anyone out there, can we just say and take it from the three of us, right? Your phone is not meant to make noise anymore. It's done. Nope. Forget it. Okay. So turn it to silent. And I'm sure somebody going, well, how will I hear it when it... You won't. That's the thing, right?
Yeah, you won't. You don't need to.
Right? You don't need to. Nobody else needs to hear it, right? Can I just make that very clear?
I don't even want to hear it fucking vibrate. That's like...
Nope.
When I am walking the dog in the morning, I turn it like off, like there's no movement, there's no sound that comes out of it while I'm sleeping. And then I just pick up my phone and I walk the dog and I listen to podcasts in silence because I haven't had coffee yet. And my only objective is to start my day picking up a bag of dog shit. Not in a mood really for any sort of like, if the world finished existing. Yes. During that walk, I would not know about it until I got home to the glowing orb that replaced my house. Like, that would be it.
Well, I love my phone tells me, I think at like 10 o'clock at night, it goes into do not disturb mode, which I have no idea how the fuck that got turned on in the first place. I don't know how to use a mobile phone. But
it's useful.
It's like, this is no different than the other, 16 hours out of the fucking day. Like, it's... Yeah. It cannot disturb me.
Speaking of things that David's phone is inviting him to, since you are the closest of the three of us to us, I would like to know if you have had an opportunity to go or have heard any reviews firsthand of the Glasgow immersive Willy Wonka experience that, from the photos that I have seen, looks like something from Soviet Russia. From the Ministry of Entertainment for Children and Candy Lovers.
Yes,
it's like the Kramer reality tour on Seinfeld. It's like where you get $25.
The only thing missing. Yeah, you need a tunnel of soiled mattresses with a guy at the end of it going, "No, it doesn't smell." All you need.
This is just fucking wonderful. For those of you who don't know, please go and look this up. You just need to Google Willy Wonka Experience. It's unbelievable. Glasgow.
The pictures are amazing.
And it basically, there had been this advert on Facebook. First things first, please, people, I don't subscribe to this kind of nebby, crabby, oh, well, they deserve to get conned. They don't deserve to get conned, okay?
No,
right?
No.
People are trying to do a nice thing for their kid.
For the kids.
Parents who are fucking tired, right? And they see this thing and they think, we'll just take the kids to that. So, no. But Just a wee bit of research before committing money to it. That's all I ask, right? I'm not blaming you for this, but just in the future, unfortunately these days, it's very easy for people to con people. Or not to con people, but not to be who they say they are, right? Because this event did take place, sort of. So, fully immersive. You know, Wonka has come out, movie, and kids, of course, love it, which is good. Classic children's book, of course, and as Lisa said, Homer got confused and thought the chocolate factory. He thought the book was real. He's still searching for that chocolate factory. It consumes him. But, you know, classic book, you know, great. First movie's still the best, by the way.
Not even close. Yeah. No, give me Gene Wilder all day.
Also, that's the place you want to go to, not the CGI one. Please listen to last week's pod for a further discussion. So they set this fucking thing up, right? 35 quid.
Yeah.
Or 65 quid for two adults and two kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people turn up. And wee things to look for in adverts, right? First of all, if they are riddled with spelling mistakes, then it probably isn't a legit company. Okay.
Yeah.
Because this is why spelling matters. And I get people telling me, oh, spelling these days doesn't matter. It fucking does. Okay. It does. Yeah. Right. Be able to spell.
There's a squiggly line under your word for a reason.
Yes.
If you saw an advert like this for like a used motor, you wouldn't bother calling the person. No. Why would you take your children to?
Because they're tired and they just think. Right,
yes. Oh. No, so, yeah. Well, again, Martin, you know, we'll find this out in another few years. Exactly. Where it's just like, fuck it. I don't care.
Oh, the kid might have spotted it and they come to you and you go, oh, fuck it, you know, 65 quid, we can afford that, we'll go, right? Great. So I get it.
Martin's going to be whistling nothing but Wiggles songs for the next 3 years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's going to get to know Bluey really well.
can you fit the sash into an episode of the Teletubbies somehow?
If it's possible, he'll find a way. But so this thing, right, they went along and it promised to be, what was it they said, an interactive, magical trip through the world of Wonka. Now, the advert suggested it was going to be basically the factory, didn't it? Going to be the factory. Well, it was a factory, right? Which they had put in, I think, about 8 decorations.
Yeah, like the kind of shit that you go buy from the pound store for like Easter.
Folding tables and chairs.
Yeah, and a bed sheet with some, I don't know, candy making stuff on it.
Sweet Shop written on it, PPE.
It was fucking, it was so bad that it got cancelled during the first day with people quite understandably demanding.
Wayne's are crying.
Wayne's are crying. Yeah, no wonder. It
sounded
awful.
Like a Celtic manager, but literally the kids are crying over this shit.
Right.
The best thing, though, is somebody found this guy who promoted it. His name is Brian Cool, right? And he seems to be a bit of a con man, a bit of a chance. I actually think more fantasist than deliberate con man, if that makes sense. Okay. Like a deliberate con man just takes your money and doesn't put on an event and fucks off with it, right? Just somebody who's maybe not the brightest and has big ideas, but unfortunately no plan at all how to execute them. But someone showed me this video. I think it was posted on Twitter. This video of him where he's saying, brilliant offer. You need to get these 5 books I've written that are available on Amazon that give you the key to success and how to make money and be a secret. Now, the only problem is, to extend Todd's metaphor, his flat from which he's doing it looks like somewhere Renton would have lived had he been in Soviet Russia, right?
Right.
It is fucking, oh my God, it's like, you know, bare walls and a 26-inch telly put up on a fucking breeze block. It's and all of that.
He sawed through the floor so that he could steal Lecky from the place downstairs.
Yeah, it's the grimmest place in the whole world. Now, mate,
I mean, I think in a way, though, it is kind of the Wonka experience, right? Willy Wonka was kind of a con man. So, you know, I mean, he is providing the real experience here. Maybe it's more authentic than people want to admit.
I want to go back to something because we kind of glossed over sort of like when people think, oh, you know, if there's there's spelling mistakes, you stay away from it. I don't think we've really captured the degree.
No, we haven't.
Lack of grammatical prowess here. So this is from the website with an image of Willy Wonka holding up a huge lollipop with, you know, and you know, surrounded by teddy bears and candy everywhere. First of all, the first word is catcagating, which is right beside the word captivating entertainment, which is in the other side. Live performances.
Oh my god! Okay, well, this is physically painful.
Do you like catchy tunes?
Well,
do you like catchy tunes? Like when you walk into a place, you get your finger snapping, your toe tapping. No, you're going to be treated to cart-chi tons.
What?
This word, I have no idea what they're going after. Exarcer Dre lollipops. I think that means extra sized.
Wow.
And here we go. And this is the closer. A passadice of sweet teats.
Oh, I would go with that.
I was going to say, I think I've been to that club before.
I think that's a completely different experience. And though
why does everything smell like cotton candy?
Right. Yeah.
I would absolutely go. Yeah, it's like, guys, you know, this is not going to be Harvey Goldstein Promotions. There is a certain level of
get a pitch for a monorail while you're here.
Yeah, exactly. But I genuinely hate though this kind of nebby, crabby victim blaming thing of well, they deserved it. They didn't deserve it, right? No. I mean, somebody took advantage.
Their kids are driving them fucking crazy. They're tired.
Exactly. Each of a good person's credit. Although I do understand that the sympathy goes when they're in the paper then with a compo face on.
Yeah, you
know, no, then I can understand that it gets a bit. But for the vast majority of people, they bought something in good faith to go and see their kids. The guy is a prick for doing it, not the people. Mm-hmm. But you get a lot over here as well that seems to be a big one, and I need to look into this to see. I'll need to ask some of my contacts that used to know when I was running a music blog. That there seems to be a lot of festivals that get announced here and never take place. So many of them that there must be something going on.
We kind of went through that festival too.
Because
you had like Lollapalooza and Bonnaroo, and then you know we went through a stretch. I don't know, the mid-teens where there were suddenly there were somehow like 300 music festivals on the calendar every year, and it's like hold on.
My hometown of Gananoque put one on, and the headliner was Snoop Dogg, and no one showed up to it because no one thought Snoop Dogg was actually coming.
Yeah, he did that here, and it was kind of the
he was front page of the weekly newspaper, and there's like, you know, 500, 700 people, and he's just, you know, rocking out. It's like, see, we told you, he'd be here.
There was a great Family Guy I watched the other night where Snoop Dogg walks up to Peter and goes, "Yo, I'm Snoop Dogg. Know what I'm saying?" And Peter goes, "Yes, I do." And his inner voice goes, "No, you don't, Peter." there just seems to be a lot of it. And people, you know, you can do a wee bit of research before you spend money. He says, you know, me, of course.
Still in the box Joey Ramone doll.
Joey Ramone.
Ronnie Ramone. I'm still looking for the Joey one if anyone has access to it.
Christmas is just around the corner.
Yeah, if anyone has access
hop on Google because we're going to take the break. You can hop on Google and try to find David's next Ramone doll. Jesus fucking, I can't even believe I have to say that word. Fuck me, what this show has just evolved over the years.
Fucking awesome. I'm going to send you a photo of it and you will just.
I'm going to look for my Mick Jones McFarlane figurine. So I'm sure that's doable.
Quick break. You're filling a big book, but what'd you see there?
God, quick break. We're coming back. And David, everybody's new favorite segment. Get ready. David's 90s film reviews coming after the break. All right, welcome back to part two of the Crow Pod. As I somehow have kept my voice together for 55 minutes so far. We'll see if I can do another 40, but we're going to find out. As always, please go check our friends at famousheadwear.co.uk, blueroomart.co.uk. And, of course, if you need to get rubbed in very nice ways, you can hit up our buddy there, Mark Boyd, at Recovery and Repair Massage Therapy in East Kilbride. Go check them out. Yeah. David, you ready?
Yes.
David's 90s film reviews.
I'm a great big fan of the... That's still so fucking great. Play it again.
David's 90s film reviews.
I just need a suit now.
Fuck it, let's just bin that. Fuck, the show's over. I'm just going to play that and repeat.
Yeah, okay, just do that in a loop.
I would listen. Right, so you would have certainly one audience member who would listen.
Listen, I'm walking down the aisle to that. I mean, I got to sprint down the aisle.
Yeah, but it's going to be quite...
it'll be quite... You'll hurt yourself, but it'll be...
We can get a remix of it. I'm sure.
I'm sorry, you've just put ideas in my head.
Right.
This won't surprise you, but we've got a drum machine, right, that you can... And obviously, keyboards. I'm going to do something.
I will talk to my friend Kid Koala. I'll see what we can come up with.
Yeah, come up with something. But I am a big fan of Alicia Silverstone.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And some people may say that's because I fancied her. And they would be right. Okay.
Yeah.
But she was in my choice this week from 1995, Clueless.
Yes.
Yes.
Clueless is fucking great, right? Everybody goes on about Mean Girls. Clueless is better. Clueless is funnier, right? Mm-hmm. It's a romantic comedy, which normally, weirdly, in my house, I don't mind them, but they bring Sally out in hives. Okay, she proper original 80s goth chick, right? Romantic comedies are not. Sally likes films where someone dies, preferably in a fairly brutal fashion. Early on, and then
wait till you hear mine.
Someone has to solve the crime. That's sort of her types of movies. But she, like, one of the reasons we never watch the same TV shows is I'll walk through and there'll be someone being tortured, and I'll go, "Yep, at you, that you." And that she's like, "Well, yeah, it's a good show. It's Luther. It's got Idris Elba in it." And I was like, "Still has to have the obligatory screaming teary women, though, doesn't it? For all the torture porn fans." Well, there's none of that in Clueless, right? Basically, it's a very spoiled girl and her spoiled mates who are all hot as fuck, right? Yep. And she goes on a journey throughout where she realizes that she's quite vapid and she tries to be a wee bit better about her life. It's one of these great films that. Make it to non-American, Shane. This is what we think America is like, right?
Well, yeah, look, we took a Jane Austen novel and turned it into this.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, you know, like Martin and I were talking about this the other day. See, when we were growing up, our fascination with America, where it comes from, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We just assumed that everybody's house in America looked like that. Had all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're very good at keeping all this, you know, the way you're trying to kill people in the inner cities. You keep that quiet. I'll give you that, right? You do. Mm-hmm. And you, all the gun stuff, it's only coming out now with social media. Up to then, we'd no fucking clue. Right, we just thought Ferris Bueller, but Clueless.
See, that's why you should have watched Running Scared, which has the other side of Chicago.
Right, go on.
Running Scared? Who is it? Billy Crystal and Hines. Jeremy Hines? Jeffrey Hines?
The dancer.
Jeffrey Hines.
Gregory Hines.
Gregory Hines. Hines. Right. Yeah,
that's
the one. I like
him. Haven't seen in a while. And rest in peace, Gregory. Fantastic, phenomenal, absolutely pitch-perfect movie.
Yeah, buddy cop movie. Fantastic. Yep.
You know, a car chase scene on the L.
Yeah.
What could be better? And the villain is cartel guy shows up in that Jimmy Smits.
Yeah.
I love Jimmy Smits.
Oh, you gotta watch this movie. You've got to watch this movie. Peak, by the way, peak Billy Crystal. Peak Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the lines. Oh no, the answer is Ipswich clams. It's just perfect.
Don Eladio of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul that was replaced Frank in there.
Yes.
Was it Stephen Bauer, I think is his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then it's got the actor who I can only ever call as Nick Tortelli, because that's all I know him as.
Yeah.
He plays the captain. You are detectives. Go and detect.
Yes.
It's beautiful. But that's not even the movie that I saw that I wanted to add into this, because I think Sally will enjoy this if she likes people being killed in wonderful ways. Miller's Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. John Polito is pitch perfect in it. You know, because at any point he gets really mad at someone giving him the hi-hat. It's fucking gorgeous. You know, Gabriel Byrne gets beat up a lot. Yep. Sam Raimi shoots a gangster.
It's a great movie.
You gotta put one in the brain, boys. It's the entire movie, line by line, is just quotable.
Shane, he's just not getting quotable. A jingle.
No.
I'm adding in. I'm merely.
I think, though, that you've misunderstood the point of David's 90s films reviews. First of all, there's a clue in the title. And secondly, right. They're not meant to be good.
Yeah.
You've picked a genuine classic there. That's not what we're here for.
Dave, to be fair, David, I think some would say you have too, because this is Paul Rudd's film debut.
That is true.
That's why I was just trying. That's why he listened to complaint rock, which is a wonderful definition of Radiohead, isn't it? Complaint rock.
Complaint rock.
Isn't it? And, you know, I have read literally thousands of music magazines and pieces and books over the years, and I still don't think from all the genius Lester Bangs or Tom Ebert or guys like that, I don't think I've ever read a better review of a band than Radiohead or Complaint Rock.
Oh, they should sell t-shirts.
Speaking of which, by the way, right, when anybody asks me, right, English literature graduate, studied proper, believe it or not, what a big part of my degree was 16th century English poetry. So,
really?
Whenever, there's a reason I know all these words when I grew up in fucking Kowinning, right? I mean, it wasn't. people didn't use the word denouement that often in here, right? So when people say to me, you know, David, who influenced your writing style? And you're always tempted to go, you know, Umberto Eco. Or you go further back and you go, well, I was a big fan of William Blake's Songs of Innocence. Or you'd be modern, you go, oh, David Foster Wallace. The truth is, it was actually a music journalist from Smash Hits and Q called Tom Hibbert, who was a genius. And they've just brought out a book with his... with a sample of his writings, and I thoroughly recommend that you check this out. It's very funny, but this interview with Morrissey, it gives you a good example of his style. Now remember, this is 1985, Meet His Murder, right? And right. Morrissey was, the music press loved him, absolutely loved him, right? So Tom Hibbert interviewing him said, what do you eat? And he said, I have a daily intake of yogurt and bread. He said, well, do you think this might be why you're so thin and ill? a good McDonald's quarter pounder would put you back on your feet in no time. To which Morrissey said, I sincerely doubt it. Next question. If you died tomorrow, went up to heaven and met Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame, what would you say to him? And Morrissey said, words would be useless. I think I just result to a physical knee in the groin. This is on behalf of those poor animals who died. And his reply, his question was, that was a trick question. You should have said Colonel Sanders wouldn't be in heaven. So it's called Few Dear Reader, PHEW, Few Dear Reader. And he was a fucking genius. And like I say, I'd like to pretend, right, that, oh yeah, these were my great, oh yeah, obviously the Fairy Queen was so, you know, such a deep work on England's state. Nah. Not that. It's a guy who would write amusing things about pop stars.
I remember when Meet His Murder came out, there was a huge, huge scandal controversy in that Johnny Marr was found in a pub eating a steak and kidney pie.
Yeah. Yes.
Johnny Marr said that, he said, you know, we genuinely didn't want to fuck things up for Morrissey, but it could be quite difficult for them because Morrissey would be talking about, you know, he was asexual and... meat free. He said, whereas the rest of the band, you know, drug free and alcohol free, says, whereas we just wanted to go out, shag, smoke weed, and have a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
He said, but we were genuinely conscious of not fucking it up for him. But you're right, occasionally they'd get caught. Imagine social media, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, that age, you know, would be absolutely criminal for them.
Is it, that was like the era, I don't understand. There's that era there, like in the late 70s, mid 80s, where like some of the nicest cunts ever in music, and genuinely, someone like Johnny Marr, genuinely talented, ended up stuck with just complete fucking rackets, like fucking Morrissey.
Oh.
For no goddamn reason other than, eh, fuck it, I'm making money.
one of my favorite, so I think it was on Twitter or Instagram, one of the two, is, and I think it's been taken down probably because of copyright reasons. And it was literally this point of like, when you're thrown into the wrong band, and it's they start playing Some Girls Are Bigger Than Others, and this guy just starts rocking out to that guitar riff at the beginning, just kind of air guitaring it. It's like, oh my God, this is great. And he's smiling. And then it goes into the lyrics as it starts to run from the Ice Age to the Dull Age. There is, and he's going, yes, 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 that's it. I have just discovered. Here we go. And then the song comes out. Some girls are bigger than others. And you just see this guy's face dissolve as he's playing. It's like, how did I get stuck with this fanny?
I mean, just honestly, like, Johnny Marr's just such a genuinely cool and nice guy. Like, he was just on What I Lie to You and was very entertaining on that. Like, he's just a good person that's talented.
Do you know the story of how they met?
No.
Right. Well, basically, Morrissey had been this sort of, this won't surprise you, oddball figure around the Manchester music scene. Yeah. It was at the legendary 1976 Sex Pistols show at Manchester Free Trade Hall, where basically the Buzzcocks were there. Who would go on to be Joy Division were there. Who were would go on to be the Durruti column were there. You know, it was basically they all formed bands. And they kind of knew of him. Tony Wilson, they said we sort of knew of him, but he was kind of like a bit of a weird guy. But Johnny Marr remembered seeing some lyrics, and somebody said, oh, this guy Morrissey wrote these. So these are great. So he literally just turned up at his house, and he said, this is how Lieber and Stoller met. And that they started writing together. And I think that there is that. It's why they were together, but not for very long, because what they could contribute when they worked together. Nobody has ever written music for Morrissey like Johnny Marr did, and nobody has ever written lyrics for Johnny Marr like Morrissey did. But after 5 years, they couldn't fucking stand the sight of each other because they were just so completely different people. So,
and you can tell.
I mean, Johnny
Marr's a huge drop after the Queen is dead. Johnny.
Yeah. Oh, no, there isn't. No, I'm not having that. Strange Ways is excellent.
Strange Ways is,
Strange Ways is, the slope is going. You know, there's... It is nowhere near the strength of Hatful of Hollows. You can see the tipping point.
A Rush and a Push, right? Girlfriend in a Coma. Stop me if you think you've heard this one before. I Won't Share You. Paint a Vulgar Picture. And what's the best one, of course, Death of a Disco Dancer. So no, I would have to disagree with that, but they were utterly fucking sick of the sight of each other at this point, and it just wasn't going to work anymore. So I think you kind of have that. It's the same with McCartney and Lennon, and people always blame, you know, McCartney. They say, oh, he was so chipper and Lennon was so cool. Lennon wasn't cool. He was a lazy bastard. And McCartney looked at him lying in his bed and going, this is to help peace. And he was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Whereas Paul's the kind of guy that tells you that he gets up and goes to work at 5 a.m.
But without him, they would have, you know, they would have made three songs after 1965. Because he was the one that went, actually, you know, we should probably record.
We should go to work here.
Yeah.
Yes.
You need the guy that goes, can we get on with this, please? Because otherwise, a lot of people will just tend to kind of dribble and fart and dissolve into it. And I mean, Lennon's, you know, hey, I'm in a bed. This will stop the Vietnam War. Genuinely, hey, I'm naked with my really ugly wife. Nobody wants to see that.
Let me go talk to Dick Cavett for a week.
Right.
This'll fix it.
Al Cap, that'll go well. Yeah, bring him in.
Oh, Shane, I may say to you, because I was watching Simpsons Final Life the other night. Do you remember Dick Cavett's his cameo in The Simpsons?
Yes.
Fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time I was with Groucho, and Homer says, "You'll be seeing Groucho again later tonight if you don't shut up."
Dick Cavett was such a great punching bag for that sort of thing, where people just recognize him, of like, you're a huge name dropper and people kind of know you.
Yeah.
He was an exceptional interviewer. I mean, he was
He was very good. Yeah. But I just always liked Dick Cavett. I always thought he was came across pretty well. But yeah, and he was willing to take the piss out the name dropping thing himself, which is usually a good sign.
Oh, yes.
Right.
You know, he was willing to have the piss ripped out of him on that. And, you know, like Brendan Rodgers wouldn't allow the piss to be ripped out of him.
Right.
He's very serious.
Mm-hmm. Very, very serious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Very serious. Yeah. By the way, just so I don't get raked over the coals here, I completely agree with Strange Ways. The one I was thinking of was the one after that, which lived up to its title.
Rank, yeah, the live one.
Yes.
Yeah, it's piss.
Yeah.
This is it, right? Because what was the first thing Johnny Marr did after he left? He went and played with the Pretenders for like 4 months. Like the most carefree, loose, fun band that you could like, just fuck this. I want to get on the road and just do some fucking music.
But what was his other band? It wasn't Sons of God, because that was Mark Burgess electronic. From the Chameleons.
Electronic with Barney Sumner.
Electronic, yeah, that's right. Electronic. But he was with Something Something.
He was with the for a while too, right?
Yeah, he was with it. And since then, he's done. He recorded an album with Modest Mouse and The Cribs. He does whatever he likes. Yeah,
again, which is why he ends up on What I Lie To You.
Holy shit, he worked with the Motels.
Yeah, see if Johnny
Marr. Suddenly Last Summer people.
Yeah, if somebody asks him and he likes what they're doing, he'll go and do it.
Yeah.
If he can be asked, and if he can't, he won't. And, you know,
Right. Exactly.
Johnny Marr's exactly what I think normal people are like once they get famous and get money. That they don't, you know, psychopaths are the guys who make millions and still get up at 5 a.m. to make more millions pointlessly. Yeah. Right? Johnny Marr's like what we would be like, which is, fancy doing that, I'll do it. I don't fancy doing that, I won't do it.
Which is exactly why we're seeing, like, Robert De Niro still acting, because and is like, why is he in these shitty films? Because they're films. That's why he wants to get up in the morning and do some work, and so he goes and he does some work.
You know?
Al Pacino, same story. All these old guys are like, well, I don't want to retire, there's still shit for me to do.
Well, I think that because, like, he's been married to the same woman this whole fucking life, like, you know, he went and did the New York Marathon one time just because he wanted to, and he ran it under 4 hours or something, I think it was. So it's like, just fuck it. Like, I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want. I'm going to fuck off and live in Portland for like a decade or something.
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares?
That's exactly, I think, just the attitude to have. And I think that that's much more readily. Like last week in the UK, there was a couple that won 61 million in the Euro lottery, right? And of course, the interviewer's first question, what are you going to spend it on? And the guy said, bought new golf clubs. And of course, I was like, you fucking drip, right? You can afford a fucking golf course. Now, start thinking up the way. And his wife was like, yeah, I bought a new wireless hairdryer. Fuck that. You can afford your own in-house stylist now, right?
You can have a wireless hairdryer.
Yeah, you can have a
It hooks up to Wi-Fi.
But like, if I won 61 million and somebody said to me, what you could think of buying, David, I was half and half between Rangers and some sort of nuclear deterrent. Those would be my two big purchases early doors. Think big.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that one bomb shelter is still for sale in Ayrshire, isn't it? Wasn't that right around you? The one that kept popping up all the time that was, you know, like a decommissioned nuclear bunker or whatever?
Yeah, but the one I want, there's a castle that keeps coming up for sale because you need to renovate it quite extensively, right? Which you could do if you had 61 million, right? And it's 695,000, and it's proper fucking Tim Burton gothic, right? Okay. So I would buy it, renovate it a bit, but not too much, dig a moat and have like a bridge that could fold up so that people couldn't get to it. if I decided that they couldn't come to it, right, it would be so up to me.
You'd stand in the tower and just yell, I'm not coming down.
And no, but also I would be rich enough to invite people to come right. to this, right, and kill one of them and then have a, and have it solved by, because I'd also invite an ace. That was always the flaw in these guys' plans, you know, these murder things. They always, among their guests, had invited like Poirot. Right, that, right. That, yes. that was a bit stupid, because he's probably going to figure it out. But I can have the ace detective there. I can invite Poirot, and he say, "Monsieur, I accuse you of this killing." And I go, "Yeah, I did it, but I've got 60 million in the bank, mate. Right, I'm not going to jail."
Daniel Craig's here, and he's sipping a mint julep. Oh shit! Yeah. Why did I do that? Why?
That's all right. I hired him for the night. Don't worry.
Yeah, I did do it, mate. I squared up his family. I've squared up the local cops. Here's you know, half a mil for your trouble. It was all for my own entertainment. You could do that if you had 60 million quid. That, like, if I bought golf clubs for my 60 million, it would be to kill people I don't like with, because I'd be able to get away with it.
I could just buy the Diefenbunker that we have out here, and just like, that's now my sanctuary.
That would be awesome.
And just turn people away at the ticket office. And it's like, no, this is a private residence now. And then I will hunt humans.
Buy a stadium, right? And when people turn up and go, "Oh, what's on here tonight?" Nothing. It's my stadium. Nothing.
And just with a stereo system, so it always sounds like there's a band playing.
You just sat there watching a film on the Jumbotron.
Yeah. People coming up to the turnstiles. "Oh my God, that sounds amazing, doesn't it? Can I come in?" No. Yeah.
No. Nope. Yeah, see, the sign says no homers.
The Sky Dome would be perfect for this. You've already got the hotel in there, so you got living quarters. See, you're set. It's perfect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. That would be absolutely tremendous. That's the sort of fit. So just 61 million couple, if you're listening, raise your ambitions, right? Just raise your horizons. Oh, speaking of horizons.
You wouldn't know, like, you guys would still hear, nobody else would ever hear. I'd like buy 1,000 acres out in the middle of nowhere with a big ass lake on it, and no one would ever see me ever again. Mm-hmm. That would be it.
Yep. See, we only know you're doing that now.
Yeah, it's shit.
See, I noticed Kevin, speaking of Horizon, Kevin Costner's got a new epic coming out. Have you seen this?
No, what is it?
Horizon, an American saga, it's called.
Uh-oh.
And he has gone...
Is this about his divorce proceedings? Or
directing and starring in, and he has got its full epic Western thing. There's one point where
he's on a horse wearing a hat.
He's on a horse with a mustache wearing a hat. Yes.
Yeah.
It is absolutely. Someone somewhere has been persuaded by Kevin Costner to let him play cowboys and Indians again. There is, even in the trailer, there's one scene where the Indians massacre the settlers, and I thought, "Oh, we're going back to that, are we?"
That's good.
That's right. I mean, listen, I'm the one who moans about movies not following traditional good guy and evil path, but I think we have established by this point, this is a little bit like making the Nazis the goodies.
Right. Yes.
David, I don't know if you're aware of, there's a rich history of American cinema and, you know, portraying these people in a certain vein. So it's
I'm aware. I mean, that was international. When I was a kid, we played cowboys and Indians, and the Indians were the baddies.
Oh, right.
Yes. Breaking news, by the way. It's remember like, you know, 5 weeks ago when it was winter and my neighbor got stuck in the street, and, you know, we talked about that for 20 minutes because we had nothing else to do. It's officially taps off weather because he's out picking up dog shit without his shirt on right now. So there we go.
That is a really weird. That's a really weird hobby.
Yeah.
Well, because you don't even walk your own dogs. Yeah. This is the worst thing at the end of winter. Right, you know, because you've just been letting the dog out and like not giving a fuck what's going on.
Yeah,
it's the dog shit shuffle as you tiptoe around it like they're fucking landmines in the killing fields of Cambodia.
That is absolutely true, but this would shock you. I hire someone to come and
pick up. No, of course again, David, you don't walk your own dog. I would not expect you to clean up after your own dog.
Why is that such a big fucking thing to you, right? Of course I don't. It's raining. I mean,
go fuck yourself, honestly.
It's fucking right now. It's currently raining where I live. Why the fuck would I choose to go out in the rain and get myself wet when I can. The dog walker can do it, and he dries the dogs, and then and I can talk to you guys. And actually, no, think about it. This means I can record, which is a public service because this goes out for free. We don't even fucking charge for that, right? I am sharing my bon mots with the audience for free. Right, and actually paying a dog walker, you fuckers should give me money, right, to pay my dog walker because I'm doing this. That's yeah. And also, maybe if anyone has like the Joey Ramone figure, you could send me that.
Now. Right. at a cursory glance, you can probably get it for south of $120 if you're looking. One last thing, Horizon and American Saga. You can come for Kevin Costner, but stay for Luke Wilson and Thomas Hayden Church.
I have no idea who Thomas Hayden Church is.
Yeah, he was Lowell in Wings, and he was the
mechanic in Wings.
And
I have no idea what Wings is.
Sideways. He was Paul Giamatti's friend.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's quite old.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, no, I like Sideways. Yeah, I've seen Sideways. Yeah.
You never saw Wings? I am shocked at that.
I haven't even heard of it.
To be fair to him, coming up on Wings. Who cares?
Yeah, that's true. that show benefited from a really good time slot.
Really good lay-in, yes. That was like, what's on before that? Oh, sure, yeah, we're fine. Literally, their biggest, the thing that got them the most hits was inertia. Yeah. That's all it was. Right. It's like people spent after laughing at Cheers. What's next? I don't know, just keep it up.
Turned it into 9 seasons somehow.
Yeah, so. exactly.
Oh, okay, the voice is going, the fever's running. I gotta go take some Tylenol. We're jumping a little early here, folks, but I'm gonna just start coughing. Like, I've spent most of the show on mute.
But fuck them, they don't pay for my dog walker. That's what you were about to say.
Okay, yeah. I believe that's your title.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to point out, too, because, in the whole everything keeps fucking up. So I was finding, like, Google trying to, because the renewal thing for the website comes up in February. And it wouldn't, like, my car, I got a new card in January, like, the update, new expiration date on the card.
Yeah.
So I've been going through, trying to update all this shit. I've been, like, Google, it would not let me update. And it kept saying, like, verify your card information. It's like, I can see the fucking card. Wouldn't do it. So finally, like, last week, I'm in a, 75 email long chain with Google trying to fix this.
Right.
At which point they told me to turn off, this was their solution, right? Turn off auto renewal for the domain in my email and then re-enter it. And I said, if I turn off auto renewal, doesn't that mean that it'll just shut down and that includes my email? And they said, no, it won't happen. Guess what happened immediately when I turned off auto renewal?
Yep.
So if you've been trying to email me, I'm sorry. And if you're trying to go to, like, directly to copelandroad.org, it's not working right now.
No, you're not sorry.
No, I'm not sorry. I mean, it doesn't really impact you finding the show wherever you get podcasts, but it is a pain in the fucking ass. It's just like...
I had email problems too. That's why I'm not replying to anyone.
Todd's is going too.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Locked down over here. That's right.
Yeah. Well, see, here's my last email to Google, which was on the 22nd at 6:10, which is when I said my website's now down. And I assume that means my email will soon follow. I need this resolved ASAP. And was it.
Almost like they don't care.
No. My $12 a year is not much in Google's overhead. Weird. So, yeah.
Weird.
Anyway, Onion headlines. What you got?
I'm going to start with the Reductress because it's absolutely phenomenal, and this is a study I think we can all get in on. Study finds women can pee standing up, too, if they're drunk enough. We've all seen that. From The Onion, date treated to amusing story behind stain on bed sheets.
one for the Brendan Rodgers. Company designates special room where women can moan in pain.
I quite liked Nation liked it when hamburger bun already cut.
Yes. Agreed.
Annotations and used copy of Autobiography of Malcolm X make it painfully obvious that previous owner was white.
I thought you might like this one, Shane. Conservative worried government coming to take his hard-earned genitals.
Yep.
For Todd, and, conflict avoidant.
This one.
Conflict avoidant vending machine accepts Canadian coin.
Beautiful.
dirty clothes hanging all over barely used Peloton instructor.
Oh, God. Report, crock pot of chili just sitting there in corner of dive bar.
Oh, I just want to do, speaking of which, well, slightly different, the word is the same. Colin, erstwhile pod, not erstwhile, he's still here, but yes. Colin, he should be erstwhile after this. He said, oh, I was looking for some shoes to wear it in the house, and I was like, slippers, they're called. Yeah, he's like, yeah. So I bought a pair of Crocs.
Oh,
no.
Fucking God, Colin.
Jesus, how'd that happen?
Crocs for the man who's given up.
Those things are just disgusting. I mean, that's like, yeah. You know, I get, you know, nurses that wear them because you can just rinse them off and whatever like that. But they are fucking gross. I mean, God.
He was
at Real House Shoes. What the hell wrong with you?
He said, well, they're just the same as slippers, or they are not.
No, they're not.
As slippers.
No.
They are not.
No, they're not.
Argentinian guy materializes. Goes, ah. God.
Sorry, mate.
Argentinian guy materializes and pick up soccer game to score a goal before disappearing instantly.
Yep, that, after they've charged you £9,000 to see him.
Right. kind of like Kenija for us.
Did you see that? Did you see that it was a Kardashian that got to be the mascot at the last game and go out with Leo?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a Kardashian. So sure. I'm sure they just won the ballot.
Yeah. Oh my God, I almost forgot. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I asked questions. Mark Boyd with the perfect response. I asked for questions from the listeners because we had done for a while. Mark chimed in. This is a suggestion box at work for the Crow Pod. They'll be read by the management and never acted upon or shared. I almost completely forgot I did this. So, Mark, yeah, you're right. Lewis wants to know who talks the most shite, Michael Beal, Michael Beal's burner accounts, or Brendan Rodgers? That's
I think that that's a tie.
Yeah.
I think we're going to find out they're the same person soon.
Yeah. See, the next time we play Celtic, see at the press conference, I'm just going to jump up and say, you are actually, and rip Brendan Rodgers' face off to reveal the keeper of the spooky fairground underneath it.
And I would have gotten away with it.
But I hadn't been for that meddling, David.
Let's see. Taber RFC wants to know, what trauma happened in a certain manager's life has led him to hate and very publicly disrespect women? I mean, I don't think we can comment too much on.
Yeah, we've mentioned
there's certain women he doesn't allegedly hate.
He likes the music of Shadi. So how can
right,
he?
Yeah.
How can he possibly?
And he watched a documentary about a teenage girl, which
teenage
is a totally girl? Normal thing for. For a grown man, football showed, manager showed to be to, doing.
Showed it to the team. Yeah. I mean, what more do you want?
Oh. Mm-hmm. He's got an Amelia Earhart figurine on his desk. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
There she is.
The collected writings of Eleanor Roosevelt are never far from his Kindle.
Mm-hmm. He's got autographed copies of all six of Jane Austen's books. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Right. Yeah.
What more do you want from the man?
Yeah.
So they're legitimate streets, too,
you know. Yeah.
God damn it! All right, that's it. So hopefully, well, if you need other Shane, I did a Wrong Turn Memory with Jack there, which
just
came out today. So
yeah, go listen.
Yeah, it's a good show. Good show. It's good fun. But hopefully, I mean, I made it through this. I think things are trending properly.
Yes,
hopefully later this week, I can actually do other content. But of course, you can find all David's shit, everything on Heart and Hand, all their endless look, god damn, you guys do so much shit. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, especially for the money that I'm charging, which, as we've discovered through this pod today, is far too little. So if there's a price rise,
right,
folks, Blame it on Shane.
Yep. Yeah. Well, look, somebody, we got to pay for these hits that, you know, dropping the segments now. I mean,
right.
No, go find all David Seven Hard and Handy. Find him on Twitter at Rocks Rocks. Todd, of course, why is there a truck honking at me? Todd, you can find all of his shit at HeyIt'sTVA.com.
Yes.
Find him on Twitter at HeyIt'sTVA. Todd,
write him up this Thursday at Absolute Comedy in Ottawa.
There you go. Go see Todd. Be funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Let's just keep winning football matches because it's fun, right? Oh, yeah. I got to say, Connor Goldson getting the three. I didn't even think about that. 300 matches quicker than anybody ever. Yeah. That's insane.
I hope Rangers keep winning if for no other reason we keep getting pictures of David at matches actually smiling.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, because the sad David pictures are just not.
Oh, my God. It's just like, did someone slaughter a puppy in front of you while we won 4-0? Is that what?
I just have a naturally dour face. I'm Scottish. You fuckers over there with your huge teeth and your fucking
Martin's smiling. Exhausted and he's smiling. He's gotten a half hour of sleep in 3 days and he's still like...
Martin's just kind of a handsome bastard, though.
Martin's delirious. Actually, I do want to praise Martin a bit of praise because there was a photo of me, him, and Josh from the Rangers Review, and anyone who knows Josh, he's easy on the eye. And his wife went, "Oh my God, who's this guy in the photo with you? He's really handsome." And Martin went, "David." So I that boy will inherit my entire holdings just based on that one comment.
Exactly.
All right, that's it. Like I said, if you're going to the football, be safe. We'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
He can't be fucking serious at all.